You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can barely hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we'll be with you for the next 3 hours, and we have an action-packed show for you. Happy New Year to everybody. We hope you had a safe, enjoyable, productive Christmas, and we're really glad to be with you. Our show tonight features the new year and what two experts think is coming. In our first hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Ted Brower, and he's going to be giving us his version of what we need to be looking out for in this coming year, and we're going to repeat that theme in the second hour with my good friend Doug Hagman. And it's going to be interesting to get their perspectives, because in the final segment of the show, Jim White will be joining us, and we'll be bouncing off what we think is coming. So hopefully by the end of these 3 hours, you'll get to consider a whole lot of different alternatives and hopefully plan accordingly. There are some very serious events going on in the world. We will probably touch on some of them as we process these first 2 hours, but what we don't hit on, Jim and I will pick up in the back part of the show. At the beginning of the third hour, our goddess of the health airwaves, Katie Whalen, will be joining us, and she'll be going through the Common Sense Show Health Report, and she's got a whole lot of really good stuff. Now, a little caveat before we get started today. Yours truly is under the weather, and I got a couple of different things going on, and I'm going to do my best to tough it out, but I always have my reliable colleague and partner, Katie Whalen, and so if I'm not able to go forward through the show, Katie will go ahead and bring us home. So anyway, let's that takes care, I think, of the technicalities. Oh, just one more thing. I wanted to make an announcement here, too, and it's almost slipped my mind. We've been having tremendous trouble with our newsletter, and our newsletter services about 29 to 30,000 people, and it keeps you up to date on the latest things that are going on with the show, the website, and so forth. And it is not going out. Now, they're still signing up people, but I'm having trouble getting our news server, who's MailChimp, to respond to my inquiries. And I think I'm going to have to do the call the manager, turn up the heat kind of approach tomorrow. So those of you who've written to me, and there's literally been a few hundred of you who've contacted me, and I've tried to answer everybody, our newsletter should be going out. It's not. We're working on it. And I promise we'll have some results this week. Now, what's also complicating this is we are changing our website server for the Common Sense Show. We're going to a whole new setup. It's going to be very streamlined, much more user-friendly, lots more information. It's going to be truly a news site, and I think that you're going to really enjoy it. So in this transition, some of our fixes may not happen quite as quickly as we would like to see. So we really appreciate your patience. Please continue to visit us daily at thecommonsenseshow.com for the latest in articles and news events. Now, on with the show. Good friend of mine, Dr. Ted Brower, who I've got to know very well. Pleased to call him my Christian friend and colleague and partner in this war against tyranny. And he has his finger on the pulse like few other people that are out there. And I thought this would be an interesting time to do a prediction show. So in that light, I asked Ted to come on. So, Ted, I want to welcome you to the show. And I can't wait to get started. First of all, just to look back, 2015 ended in a very tumultuous manner, didn't it?
It did, Dave. In fact, I've been doing a lot of research on this myself for the last few weeks, trying to develop some trends for my show that I'll be talking about. You know, we're on the hour before you right now on this evening from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time on Global Star, and also from 3 to 4 on Global Star Monday through Friday. I think we precede you on those days also. And so what's interesting is I've been doing a lot of research, and one of the top four trends forecasters who I was privileged to interview when I was doing the Power Hour as a guest host was Gerald Celente, and he's pulled a few statistics out, and I want to use a few of his statistics tonight and add a few of my own, and I believe he's got a good pulse on what's going on too. And I like Gerald. He's a really cool guy. He's really fun to interview too. But he's primarily concerned about the $220 trillion global debt crisis that has been done by the Federal Reserve using fiat currency, promoting interest on debt, interest to the Fed, creating digital currency with more interest, quantitative easing basically to infinity for years now. All this is coming to roost in 2016. Now, that doesn't even include the $2 quadrillion in derivative debt that's due globally, most of which has been processed in U.S. American dollars. We've got a major, major Ponzi scheme here that's happened with a lid about to blow off. And you have to look at what's happened. So my first prediction is this. The United States and the world is going to go into a major global recession for 2016. I believe it started in 2015, and I believe it's going to continue into 2016. Look at the commodity price. Look at iron ore, dairy, wheat, corn, copper, everything. Iron ore in 2011 was $200 a ton. Now it's $40 a ton. The oil prices have gone down into the 30s. I mean, we have ships sitting outside of Galveston Harbor, which can't even offload because there's so much glut for the oil right now. Saudi Arabia claims to need about $100 a gallon, $100 a barrel to break even with the oils they're doing, with the oil they're producing. They're actually floating bonds now trying to raise cash. A few years ago, I was in Germany. I was staying at the Westin Hotel in Munich. And what was interesting about it is we were there, and half the hotel had been rented by Saudi royals. So they had all these Rolls Royces and cars and all this crazy lifestyles. They literally had rented half the hotel for the summertime because it's much cooler in Munich than it is in Saudi Arabia. And they were just had basically taken over the entire hotel. You know, they were cooking for them. Everything in the club lounge was all about, you know, what the Saudis wanted. They had people out there literally detailing their roles. They had like 8 or 9 just $500,000 cars sitting out front. They had people detailing the cars. Their lifestyle is unbelievable, and all the people they support through the oil. So they're having to actually float bonds now to raise more money to maintain the lifestyle, I guess, that they have, and to maintain Saudi Arabia because they can't make money in the, you know, when the oil's under $40 a gallon. These commodities, Dave, are like the canary in the coal mine. And what's interesting about this is people may not know that term, but back in the old days when they used to be in these coal mines, if they had a methane gas release, they would have little birds, little canaries in the mine, and they would die almost immediately upon exposure of methane. Humans have a little more tolerance, and these birds would die, and they'd quickly vacate the mine. The canary and the coal mine are these commodities. The commodity prices are continuing to fall globally, and it's sad because, you know, almost all of this money from QE went into these emerging markets. We're talking about countries like Venezuela, Chile, Brazil, Colombia, Guyana, and what they did is they borrowed all these dollars, and they were using all of their commodities and all of their natural resources to pay back these trillions and trillions of dollars. Here's the problem. The commodities market has collapsed. The money is now due for the payback, and the dollar is getting stronger and stronger. Some of these currencies have lost 30-40% of their value, including the euro. And so now they're having a difficult time paying this money back. So these commodity prices are destroying these emerging markets. So, you know, now we got Yellen raising the interest rates on the dollar, which is going to make their currency go fall further and further back. You know, the $220 trillion for the quantitative easing that's due now and other factors. So it's not just quantitative easing. You know, it's causing Brazil to completely crash. They're saying they're like in a 1930s depression now. Their inflation is going up, so now they're having to raise interest rates at a time when the economy is going down, which is causing the economy to further collapse. And so, quite frankly, Dave, my first prediction is if this $220 trillion or the $2 quadrillion debt bubble pops in 2016, it's going to make 2008 look like a joke, and we'll be back down to depression level events from the 1920s again. That's my first prediction. What do you think, Dave?
Well, I think you're right on the money with that. You know, the interest just on the derivatives debt is $505 trillion a year, and that's our domestic burden. That's not even globally. So I think you're absolutely right. And further complicating that, and you talked about things not moving and oil being a part of this. If we look at the Baltic Dry Index, which is the best measure on how the global economy is doing, products not moving, the BDI is at an all-time low, Ted. So I think you're right on the money.
Well, no. In fact, it was funny, Dave. I first started listening to your show a few years ago. You know, you started talking about the Baltic Dry Index, and I've been watching it ever since. And I knew about it, but I didn't pay much attention to it. But you're right. It's on a downward trend because that's basically saying that China's not shipping, we're not shipping. And the reason that's happening is our dollar has gotten so valuable because the other country, it's like a race to the bottom on these fiat currencies, and our dollar just happens to be the healthiest horse in the glue factory, so to speak. And so, and forgive me, animal rights activists, I don't like horses and glue factories. Don't send me any letters on that, please. I don't need that, but I'm using it as a metaphor, but that's what our dollar is. So what we have to do is this, is that, and by the way, I love horses, and by the way, what we have to do is this, is that we have to realize what's happening here and why our export market has been crushed, why we're sending out thousands of containers empty, and why we're bringing in these very few containers now. China is basically... They're in a mess right now. Russia's in a mess because of oil prices. But Russia's been smart. They've maintained a lot of their own domestic production for commodities and goods and services and everything inside of Russia, and they haven't allowed themselves to go as globalized as the rest of us. So Russia's doing a relatively good job weathering the storm right now, unless we set up some kind of false flag through our CIA and we started to run some kind of coup over there in Moscow trying to get Putin out of the office, which none of that would surprise me. Look at Europe right now. You know, they're doing the same thing. They're doing $60 billion a month. They decided to on quantitative easing. They're continuing to do that until 2017, and now we have negative yield interest rates in Europe. I mean, now if you buy Swiss bonds, keep it for 10 years, you get less money back after 10 years than you put in. I mean, these Ponzi scheme Rothschild bankers basically are in full panic mode trying to keep the Ponzi scheme alive, Dave, and that's what's going on over there. I mean, this is a major problem that nobody really wants to talk about because everybody feels helpless to do anything about it, but we're going to talk about some of the alternatives and what you can do when I give you my second and third thing that we think may be happening.
Well, I think, Ted, when you look at what's happening to the economy and you talk about the bankers, you know, basically being stuck and they're doing what they can do to keep their heads above water, isn't that when bankers start wars?
Yes. That's number two. And again, it ties right back with what Salente was saying. Number two on this list, the wars will be the war. But let me tell you what will be happening. Number two is that many people in these emerging countries will be leaving their country and causing additional problems of mass immigration into Europe, into the United States, just because they're trying to eat and survive. See, now that we've basically shown the people in Africa that they can walk to Europe, wait until the springtime day when they all want to start walking to Europe, and they're going to basically have a massive influx again. And Angela Merkel is basically doubling down and telling the German people that just because they're being raped and murdered by these immigrants that are coming in, that they got a bad attitude.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that, you know, they're going to keep bringing them in. And the thing about it is, see, this is going to be a giant religious, socioeconomic, geopolitical crisis that the world has never seen. Remember in World War II, we had about 2.3 billion people. Now we have about 7.2 billion people. I mean, in World War II, so many people were displaced. It was awful. Millions and millions died after the war in Germany. People don't even know that. They starved to death. Yes. And the nuttiest part about all of this is that, you know, this is not going to stop now. This is going to continue to erode. And the globalists have stated in their agendas that they want 500 million people on the planet. That's it. So I don't know if they're going to use this as their giant culling process. I have no idea, but you're right though. When all else fails, take us to war. You know, back in 1920, remember what happened in 1911 with Wilson and all the rest of those boys and all the stuff that happened over there that precipitated World War One and all the idiot decisions that were being made. You see, there's a thing called the Treaty of Westphalia. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
It's a very good treaty, and what it basically said is that another country can't be involved in another country's internal conflicts like civil war. In other words, if the United States has a civil war, we don't want Russia coming in and bombing one or the other sides. We don't want Germany coming in and bombing us or China coming in and bombing us. And that Treaty of Westphalia has been completely thrown out of the doggone history book, so to speak. Nobody talks about it anymore because now it doesn't make any difference. We've got Germany now going in into Syria. We've got France into Syria. We've got England into Syria. We've got the United States into Syria. We've got Russia into Syria. I mean, everybody's attacking Syria. And the major reason this whole thing started in Syria with the civil war was that Qatar wanted to put that pipeline, that gas pipeline, through to tie into the European pipeline, and Russia asked them not to do it because they were allies, because Russia didn't want their commodities prices to go down even further and their gas prices to go down even further by having they have to compete against Qatar. And so they decided they were going to take over Syria by doing a civil war, which is what the globalist plan was the whole time, to overthrow all these Middle Eastern countries. And I don't know what they're planning to do. It's kind of a scorched earth policy, Dave. They kind of destroy everything. It's kind of nuts when you stop and think about it.
Yeah, but the biggest concern for me is not who's going to win the tug and war over the gas. The biggest concern for me is when you have all these countries and add Chinese troops into it now, this is a prescription for confrontation, and this is where I think the Third World War is going to start.
I remember that quote by Einstein. I'm going to paraphrase it. Something like, I don't know what kind of weapons are going to be used in World War III, but World War IV is going to be using sticks and stones.
Right,
you know, the stuff that we have now, the scalar weapons that we have, the space-based weapons platforms, the satellite weapons, the frequency weapons, the energy weapons, the scalar weapons. And I've gone into detail on scalar technology on the Hagman Show back in November and December. Scalar technology by laying over two radio waves, forming a longitudinal wave, laying the longitudinal waves over, forming a scalar wave, which picks up all of the energy from the planet through the vortices in the planet, which create these incredible weapons that have like nuclear explosions if you discharge them in one area. You know, we're so far advanced past nuclear weapons, Dave, we don't have to discharge all of this plutonium any longer. We can start discharging space-based weaponry and lay waste to entire continents. And, you know, you and I both know that's true. And a lot of people don't want to believe that, but that's the technology level that we're at right now. We have that type of technology.
Well, we have the rods from gods. Uh-huh. Remember Tenjin? Remember when the Chinese started making moves to devalue the dollar and lessen the value of the debt? Well, you know, what did we do? They started having explosions in China. And we do have these deep space platforms. And I'm so glad to hear you mention this, Ted, because people just don't talk about this. People don't acknowledge the fact, and I've known about this, well, since my dad told me in the 1980s, we put space platforms out there in the 1960s. Did you hear this, folks? The 1960s? And they are loaded with advanced weaponry.
Well, no, we have, Dave. And the crazy thing about it is, I remember when Jesse Ventura had that show. It was called the Conspiracy Theory.
Yes.
And he brought the man on, and I forgot the guy's name, Dave. You'll probably remember it. And he interviewed him. He was one of the guys who worked on Star Wars. And he was talking about 9/11 and Star Wars, and could there have been a space-based platform involved with the taking down of the trade towers? And Jesse asked him, can you destroy a city? Or destroy a building. He said, a building. He laughed. He said, a building? He goes, you can destroy a whole city if you want to. You can lay waste to regions by these weapons that we've put in space. He says, weapons that Reagan called Star Wars that we said that we stopped building. He said, we've completed those weapon systems and they're in space right now. And remember Jesse asked him, he said, well, isn't it dangerous for you to talk about this? And he goes, well, no, they need me every once in a while when something goes wrong to come in and try to, you know, basically figure out what's happening, you know, how to fix things. And he says, I'm pretty safe talking about it. And he was dead before the episode aired. You remember that, Dave?
You're talking about Dr. Fred Bell.
Yes,
Who is the brother of famous broadcaster Art Bell.
That's right. That's exactly right. And see, Fred Bell came on and he was dead from some kind of, again, another heart attack. And he was dead, you know, within weeks before the show aired. And they actually talked about the fact that he had died before the show was aired. And, of course, that was the last season of Conspiracy Theory. I guess they thought it was kind of funny to start with. And then pretty soon the globalists started thinking, this guy's actually gaining traction and actually telling people what's really happening out here with these space-based weapons. And so we need to really get him to shut up. And so, yeah, but Fred Bell, that was his name. Real nice guy, but he just apparently gave the wrong interview to the wrong person at the wrong time and the wrong place.
I enjoyed that show, too. I mean, I enjoyed Conspiracy Theory.
I mean,
some of it was a little off, but most of it was good. But, you know, someone forgot to tell Jesse. He really wasn't supposed to expose anything. And you remember the FEMA CAP episode they had? And I actually recorded it. It was on my DVR. I opened it up the next day. It's gone. They went in and wiped out the DVRs of the FEMA CAP episode.
With the technology they have now, even with DVRs and what they can do, is mind-boggling to all of us now. I don't understand how this stuff happens, but you're right. Sometimes, if every once in a while things just disappear on my DVR too, and it could be because it's overloaded and it's not having enough memory or whatever. I don't know. But the whole point is this. You know, Jesse Ventura, you're right. He didn't get the memo. Remember, even with the big guy on Fox, what's the Mormon fellow, Glenn Beck, when he was talking about, he started talking about the Federal Reserve banks and about what they had done and how they were involved in this thing. We were all neck deep in their mess. It wasn't 2 or 3 weeks after he had exposed all of that. He was done on Fox. He was done. He was finished. See, there's certain things you can't say on mainstream TV because you have to maintain the narrative. They don't want you to expose the obfuscation. See, it's like this with the Federal Reserve. We're not allowed to look at their minutes for 5 years after their meetings take place. 5 years. So that means if we could see the minutes from 2010 now in 2015 or 16, right? So you don't even know if those are the real minutes. You don't even know if that's complete obfuscation. They've had 5 years to boogie up the records on any of this stuff, rewrite it, expose it, delete it, do whatever they want to do with it, Dave. And the thing that's nuts about all of this stuff, these are the guys that are running the world, running the planet, and these are the same guys that are the Sabbatean Frankists, basically, that want to turn the world upside down, destroy everything that God made to try to bring in the return of what they call their Messiah. And the nuttiest part about all of this stuff is that we can't sit here and say much about any of that, otherwise we get criticized for it. And the sad part about it is it's this Federal Reserve Bank nonsense that started this big downward spiral of the United States in 1913. We were the largest creditor nation in the world in 1913, and now we're the largest debtor nation in the world, and it's getting worse and worse. But what's funny is a lot of these bonds now, when they do these bond issuance of these big sales trying to sell our debt, the Fed's having to buy their own paper, which I think is hilarious, because the other countries don't want to buy the reserve paper for the United States anymore, the debt paper for the United States. And truth be told, when the United States restores the Constitution, I mean, I don't want anything but a restoration of the Constitution. I don't want another war in the United States to try to do any of this. I just want restoration. That's all I want. I don't want a revolution. I want restoration. Make clear on that. When the restoration occurs, because the Patriot Movement gets big enough, and we've all worked together as a team with synergy, when it gets big enough, what's going to happen is, if the Fed owes money to itself because it bought its own paper, it's going to make it very easy to get rid of that debt. We basically just say it's just fake debt, is not real. We make it go away. It's going to just stench. There's no reality to it. So the crazy part about all of this stuff is the Federal Reserve banks have caused almost all of this nonsense by all of their fiat currency and all the stuff that they've done. Now let's go to the next one real quick.
Let's hold on to that because we only got 30 seconds to the break.
Okay.
So in 20 seconds, tell us how people can listen to your show.
They can go to Global Star Radio. From 3 to 4. Monday through Friday from 7 to 8 on Sundays, Eastern Standard Time. Mm-hmm. And there's also a phone number that they can go to our website, healthmasters.com. There's an 800 number they can call when the show's live, and they can listen to it live via their telephones, their cell phones. They can listen to it right over their car audio if they tie it into their cell phone.
Okay, very good. We come back, we'll pick up more predictions from Dr. Ted Brewer. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
$10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Well, folks, I want to talk to you very quickly about what I feel you're going to need in the upcoming future. Here at the Common Sense Show, I'm working on a story with some farmers across the country, as well as some people on the inside, with regard to the banking industry. And what I'm finding out is very disturbing. We are seeing farmers leave this profession in droves, and we're going to see massive food shortages. And I mean massive. And I, like I said, I'm working on the story. I will have details, I'm hoping, sometime this week, which will print on thecommonsenseshow.com. Well, this brings me to what I feel all of you need to be doing. As we have said repeatedly on the show, we feel it's important for every American to have 2 years of storable food, and you better have some seeds behind that to back it up when that food runs out. But 2 years minimum is what we feel. Well, we offered that at Food for Liberty. foodforliberty.com/Hodges. We've got grab-and-go buckets, 76 delicious meals. You can grab and go on a whim. It's a great product. The meals are restaurant quality. I'm not exaggerating. I've tried these meals and I find them to be tasty. They're very reasonably priced. Not only do we have that, we have organic powdered milk. Go right down the list. Just visit the website, foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Order accordingly. And honestly, folks, as you're going to hear in the last half hour of Ted's appearance and when Doug Hagman comes up in the second hour, you know, we're living in times where America's going to change dramatically. Don't get caught short. Well, Ted, let's get into more predictions. And so let me throw it back to you. And what else do you see happening in 2016?
Well, you got to look back at what happened to World War II, World War I. They always take you to depression. This would happen in 1929 when the bankers contracted. Now, remember, my whole thing with all of this is all going back to the bankers. The bankers have caused almost all of the woes this planet has seen, Dave. I mean, they're just absolute greedy people. I mean, they already owe, God, they almost own everything anyhow. They control, through their corporations and their interlocking corporate directorships, they own like, what, 95, six families or six corporations controlling 90, 95% of the news globally. I mean, so when they say it's not news, it's not news. When they say it is news, it becomes news because just what they say and what, how they respond to everything. But what they did back in 1913, when they got a hold of the United States, they got a hold of our currency, they had to bring us into the war. They wanted us to get into debt really fast. They did that with World War I. And then they loosened up the M1 money supply. They started letting people have really, really easy loans, et cetera, all the way up into the roaring 20s. And in 1929, they had told their globalist buddies that they were going to track the M1 and call in their loans. And they did. The problem was because the interest never gets printed with these guys. The interest can never be paid back, and when they ask people to pay the interest back out of the M1 currency supply, it decreases the popularity, it decreases the amount of currency in circulation, and it always causes a recession. If you do it deep enough, it causes a depression. This is what they did. It was all orchestrated. The depression of 1929 was orchestrated to cause a depression. So in 1929, we had a massive falling of the stock market. Commodities prices collapsed. Stock equities markets collapsed. Trade wars ensued. Then currency wars ensued. Then we had World War II. Okay, then, and that's exactly what's happening right now. We're doing the exact same thing. We're having trade wars, currency wars, and it's going to be another world war, probably. But again, it's going to be with weapons that we've never dreamed of or even thought of that they've kept secret for all of these decades if they start unleashing all of that stuff. But like you said, with the rods of God or whatever they're using, I think those were tungsten core things that are about the size of a telephone pole. They eject, and they come in at such velocity coming back into orbit, and their pinpoint accuracy, because they're guided, they call these massive explosions. Is that what you're referring to with that?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was referring to.
Yeah, but see, that's the whole thing. And that's why, Dave, all of our fathers, Washington, Jefferson, all of these guys, they warned us. Franklin, they said, no foreign entanglements, because all these wars and all the stuff with Napoleon, all of this junk was going on in the 1700s, and the Rothschilds had their hands filled over there as far as trying to manipulate all these different banks and currencies. So they kind of left us alone when we had our Revolutionary War in the United States, and that's why our forefathers said, hey, we can't allow ourselves to get involved in all these foreign entanglements. Now we have troops in over 100 countries. We're basically building an empire, like Ron Paul says, or we've built one. The problem is these empires have to be maintained, and they're doing it through fiat currency, and that fiat currency always goes back to its paper value, which is zero. Doesn't matter what's printed on the face of it, what's what the paper's printed. We've seen that repeatedly, especially in the Weimar Republic. When my mom was there, she used to tell me it was 40 billion marks for one loaf of bread. She used to tell me about all this crazy stuff. And again, we've got the wars, we've got Germany, England, France, all of them fighting in Syria, in a civil war in Syria. Syria's having a civil war. They want to try to get it resolved themselves, but now all these other countries are fighting there in their country, completely against the Westphalia Treaty, completely against it. And it's, again, it's a replay of the stupidity that led up to World War One. But remember, when you do this and you bring them to war and you start running the bugles and the drums, and you start getting people to sign up, and you know, you start talking about war. Look what happened after 9/11. Look what happened with all of the people that went and enlisted in the military to get back at the folks that supposedly did 9/11. Now, right now, France is having like record recruiting right now with their military, because everybody wants to get back at the people that killed those people over in Paris. And so it's crazy, because it's more obfuscation, Dave. It's like looking at minutes that are 5 years old. You have no idea what the original minutes said. And so what ends up happening is you have these people that are being obfuscated, being led to war, so they'll get their mind off of the global crisis that's at hand and all of the horrible things that are happening as far as the currencies, the world, and the economies. I mean, in Germany right now, the economy's starting to get really, really bad. I was there a few months ago, and they're telling me right now that they're scared. They're scared because of all the rapes that are occurring from all these foreigners that are coming in. They're just scared. They don't know what to do anymore, and a lot of them are actually trying to come to the United States as a bastion of hope. And I tell them, I say, guys, you can come here, but they're bringing all these foreigners into our country too. And the sad part about it is they're not doing a proper vetting process to get them here, Dave.
Well, that's not true, because Obama said we are vetting everyone coming in, and I know he wouldn't mislead us, although the FBI is on the record of saying two things, Ted, that concern me. Number one, they're saying that they can't track everybody, they don't have the resources to vet, nor are they allowed to vet, and number two, they are saying that 10% of these populations being brought in from the Middle East should be considered to be radicalized and therefore a national security threat. But of course, the president says that's not the case. So who are we to believe?
Well, here's the next thing. Let's look at gold and silver real quick. And again, if you want to buy gold and silver, go to Steve Quayle. What's Steve's website?
Well, I better yet, I got his number. Call him tomorrow, 406-586-4842, Renaissance Precious Metals. I'm a customer, and I'm telling you, your cash isn't going to be good much longer. And I say this every day on every show I do. Steve's ad's coming up later in the show. Again, 406-586-4842.
But I like Steve. He's a great guy. I mean, I love his presentations on the radio and TV. He does a great job. Look at gold and silver. According to Gerald Celente, the demand is off the charts. Gold, in the third quarter of this year in the United States, the gold demand was up 207% over last year. In China, it's up 70% year to date. Remember, gold costs around $1,050 an ounce just to mine. Silver costs around $15 an ounce to mine. Gold is being manipulated by the naked shorts they're doing constantly on the markets to keep the prices down, so people don't realize how valueless our fiat currency is going to become. If the LIBOR was rigged and people got charged with felonies and convicted for that, and the Forex was rigged and they got charged with felonies and convicted for that, I mean, you don't think that they're rigging the gold and silver markets? It's a joke. You know, gold in Europe, the demand is up 35%, Dave. And see, people need to realize is that this central bank fraud, because of all this digital currency they print, you know, all these naked shorts that they do, that there's a giant crash that's going to be coming soon in the equity markets unless they can keep propping this stuff up. I have been so shocked now for so many years now with the silver and the gold, just because of the M1 money supply with the total circulation of currency and supply is up so much over 2008. The gold and the silver prices should have reflected all that, Dave. I mean, we had less than $1 trillion in circulation globally, according to the research that I've done back in 2008, 2009. Back in 2008, when everything started to collapse, less than $1 trillion in U.S. currency was in circulation. I think it was $890 or $900 billion. That was it. And everything else was being done on digital. And the nuttiest part about all of this is that's what happened is we had that giant currency shortage, which caused that massive, we started having all these major corporations going out of business because of that. And it's primarily because of the derivatives. When they're doing a 40-to-1 split, according to some of the researchers, that's what they're doing. So if you have $1 in inventory, you can print 40 times that. And that's before you start throwing the derivatives into it, Dave. It makes a huge, huge mess because there's simply not enough currency in circulation to cover this looming debt. It simply doesn't exist.
You know, Ted, let me just interject something here, and I don't know if you're planning to talk about this, but what do you see for November with regard to the election?
You know, and I've gotten some flack from this, because I usually vote libertarian. I do. I'm going to tell you how I vote, so you guys can fuss at me for that too. I don't care. Everybody fusses at me anyhow. You might as well fuss at me for voting libertarian. But the truth of the matter is, this time, if Trump gets the nomination, I'm going to vote for Trump. because I know we all know that Clinton's going to get the nomination, Dave. And, you know, Salente thinks that they want Hillary in and that she'll probably win the nomination and win the presidency. And God help us if that happens, because that will be the end of the Constitution as far as I'm concerned with her executive order powers at that point. I don't know how she could do anything any worse than what Obama has done. I really don't. I mean, I don't even know how a person like her can actually get into the White House because of her criminal background with Benghazi and everything else. I don't understand any of this anymore, Dave. It's kind of the other day I was talking on my one show and my show on Thursday, and I was talking about walking in love as Christians and how we all needed to love and support each other for the new year. And I said to him, we were talking about the Immaculate Conception and all that kind of stuff. And I said, look, here's the deal. I'm not a theologian. I don't ever say I was a theologian. I don't try to be a theologian. I said, I'm a biochemist, you know, trained at Florida State University, who, by the way, lost their bowl game. I mean, I said, it's kind of like Sergeant Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. I said, he was my favorite character on Hogan's Heroes back in the 60s. And a lot of you guys who are our age, you remember that. And he always said, because he was always so afraid he'd have to go to the Eastern Front and fight the Russians, because nobody came back from there pretty much. And every time they would ask him a question, he'd go, I know nothing. I know nothing. And you know, it's true, Dave. I mean, we don't know what in the world. We don't know, except for the fact that Congress is probably being blackmailed by the CIA and all of the videotapes and all of the drugs and all of the pedophilia that goes on up there, that I don't understand why Obama hasn't been impeached, because he certainly has done enough impeachable offenses. I don't understand any of this. I guess if they want Hillary in bad enough, they're going to put her in. And quite frankly, I don't like everything Donald Trump does, but hey, he straight called out the immunization mess a few debates back and what's going on with immunizations and autism. So if I had to vote for somebody, Dave, I'd vote for Trump, and I hope that Trump wins over Hillary. But I don't know. I got a feeling whoever's going to win is who the globalists want to win. What do you think, Dave?
Well, let's put it this way. If Trump is for real, Trump will not get to the election. It's my firm belief that they'll do a Bobby Kennedy on him. You remember Bobby Kennedy in 1968 was going to end the Vietnam War, reopen the investigation into his brother's assassination, on and on and on. And they couldn't take another Kennedy, so they killed him. And I do think that if Trump's candidacy is real, now, there are some things that really bother me about Trump, and I'm greatly disturbed. When you look at Trump's background, he has a history of cavorting with the Clintons, and there's no denying that, and I'm getting ready to document that in an article tomorrow when I raise, should we really trust Donald Trump? The other thing that really bothers me about Donald Trump is the fact that he could be in Oregon right now at the Hammond Ranch. You know, we've got the Bureau of Land Mafia that seems that they can steal land from anybody they want, do anything they want without regard to due process or the rule of law. And Trump says he's for property rights, yet when you look at his history in the gaming casinos in Atlantic City, I remember the story back in the 90s when he basically put a widow out onto the street because he used the power of government to steal her home so he could expand a casino. And I'm going to talk about some of those issues. And that's not a standalone issue with Donald Trump. So there's lots of reasons there to suggest that Donald Trump is not who he says he is. And the other thing that concerns me, Ted, and here's the bottom line. Rich people hang out with rich people. A rich Chinese person has more in common with a rich American than they do with their own countrymen. The only thing they share there is a common language. And Trump is one of them. He's one of the elite. Why in the world at this point in his life should he stand up for civil liberties, which protects the interests of the middle class and also protects Christians? Why should he stand up for us at this point in time when he spent his life cavorting with the very people who are trying to subjugate us?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, John F. Kennedy, when he had that PT boat sunk underneath him, and he ended up spending that time on that island, and he wrote the book, I think it was called Profiles in Courage, right?
Yes.
And he got a Pulitzer Prize for that, and some people say that it was ghostwritten, but John told him what happened, but I don't care about any of that. All I know is this. It changed him. It changed him deep on the inside. It changed his core. It changed his life. It changed everything. It made him realize he didn't want the CIA running drugs out of Southeast Asia. It made him realize when he signed Executive Order 11110 that he didn't want the Federal Reserve printing money, you know, basically at nonstop levels as far as they much as they wanted to. And when he released his own silver certificates, I mean, he really had an epiphany, and he wanted to get rid of the CIA. He was livid after they killed Marilyn Monroe. That was never given by his orders. That was done by the CIA. I mean, it's crazy what happened with all of that stuff. So he wanted to get rid of the CIA. He wanted to get rid of organized crime, which was running all of the drugs through New York and through their basically their mafia network that were coming out of Southeast Asia. He wanted to get rid of all of that stuff, and of course they killed him. And you're exactly right. That's exactly what they did to Bobby Kennedy. And that's what I'm also concerned about for Trump. If Trump really is real, if he's had an epiphany, if he's seen the United States go down the skid like he said he has, and he wants to save the country, he wants to make the United States great again, and he really has had a moment of clarity like John F. Kennedy did, he's in very, very dangerous water right now because of the globalists and the power that they have in getting rid of him and, you know, and faking a heart attack or whatever. They could do that. So I don't know, Dave. I mean, this whole thing is so odd to me because I never expected to have a candidate like Trump that was so direct and in their faces. But again, I hope he's for real because you're right. He's basically a product of the banking industry with all these huge, huge loans that he's taken to keep these casinos going, all the things that he's done and all the development that he's done. So I personally like him when he speaks. I think he's a really good speaker. I think he has a lot of color and zest to the campaign trail. And I hope and I pray, I really do, that he's for real. Because if he's not for real, Dave, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do because, you know, if we put Hillary Clinton in the White House, you know, may God have mercy on the United States.
Hey, Ted, I want to ask you something, what you think about this. Trump has to understand the dynamics of the elite. Don't you think that he would have an inside scoop if they were out to get him, if what they were planning to do?
Well, that's why I think that's one of the reasons he asked for all the Secret Service protection. I have a friend of mine, he's a pastor out of St. Louis, has a big church in St. Louis, and he's become friends with Trump. In fact, I won't mention his name just for security for the pastor. And in fact, he sent me the other night, he was having dinner with Trump. His name's David and his wife's name's Nicole, but I won't mention their last name or their church name. And they actually sent me a selfie with Trump at the dinner table. And they told me, they said that this guy is real, Ted. This guy is just, he's just as real as he could possibly be. And he really is concerned for the future of our country. Now, that's what somebody is saying who knows him, who has dinner with him right now. So now, I have no idea what the true Trump is. I mean, you know, I'm not going to judge the guy based on past performances because he may have had an epiphany like JFK did. And, of course, that ended up costing JFK his life. And, of course, Reagan came into the White House, Dave, and you know as well as I do, within 30 days after the White House, they put the CIA, head of the CIA, George H. was behind him. And Reagan was supposed to have died that day, and then George Bush would have been the president, you know, 30 days in. They never expected Reagan to be in that long, but George Bush basically ran the White House for the entire 8 years he was in with Reagan and also for the next 4 years that he was in. That's why he didn't care if he lost it with Clinton. But the Bushes and the Clintons are bosom buddies. They really are. And with Trump supporting all of these different people, including Hillary Clinton and all these other folks giving money to her foundation, this whole thing is just a big mess. I mean, there's really no clarity to it because we've been so obfuscated and so lied to and so misled for so many years now in the United States that we really don't know who's real and who's not real anymore. And the last president that I know that was completely real was John F. Kennedy, Dave, and they killed my president. I remember when they shot him. It was awful. I was a little kid. And the sad part about it is that, you know, we've never had anybody else like him. I think Reagan could have been like him, but Reagan was pretty much scared. And then Nancy started going to these crystal ball people, these soothsayers or whatever she was using to try to figure out what to do with Reagan after that. I mean, that whole thing got weird in the White House, and then Iran-Contra happened and everything else. See, John F. Kennedy never would have allowed any of that stuff. He wanted to clean up the country, clean it all up. That's why he gave that newspaper speech about that he was going to expose this giant thing, this organization that was doing this, that was operating through covert means. And I think a lot of it was the CIA, a lot of it was the Rothschild banking cartels. But my third thing that I believe is going to happen this year, and God help us, because I really hope that it doesn't happen, I believe we're going to have another major terrorist strike or a whole bunch of other terrorist strikes around the world, and central banks are going to have another one of the big bank holidays, and they're going to use that to mitigate the problems that they've caused, and they may actually devalue the currency like they did in 1933, in which gold was then at $20.67 an ounce. They seized all the gold, and they revalued it at 35%, and immediately the dollar lost 70% of its purchasing power. It was a massive devaluation of our currency to cover their own tracks. And I believe they may do the same thing again, too, but I think it'll be precipitated by a false flag event. Dave, what do you think?
Well, I've been calling for a Tet Offensive. I think we have so many ISIS cells in the country right now that I can see them attacking in several cities at one time to make the point we're here. And I think the Obama administration, let's put it this way, I don't think that they would see this as a threat. They'd see this as an opportunity to declare martial law and start taking the guns.
That's right. If those are my three predictions, that we're going to have a continued recession, that basically we're going to have a continued massive migration of immigration from these war-torn countries and these impoverished countries that have been completely put in debt through the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, and that we're basically going to have some type of terrorist attack either in the United States, which I think is probably going to happen, because you're absolutely right. They've got to find some way to justify the seizing of all of our weapons, because I read a quote today that came in, and it was from one of the guys who was involved in the Russian Revolution, and he said that if the peasants that they were killing in the Russian Revolution would have at least met the resistance, you know, with hammers and sickles and basically anything they could find, you know, shovels, when they came through their doors to kill them and their families that night, that they could have stopped the Russian Revolution, because they killed so many tens of millions of people with a small handful of people with the Russian Revolution, but nobody actually resisted the resistance. There was no resistance. And we've got to maintain the fact that we have a Second Amendment in the United States so we can put up some type of resistance if a foreign power comes in, Dave. I mean, what happens if Russia comes in, which I don't think they will, or China comes in, which they might, or whatever, and they start coming in and ransacking people's homes and going door to door, and it's not even the United States anymore that we've basically lost our sovereignty. I mean, we've got to have a way to protect ourselves, Dave. I mean, it's very, very important that we maintain our Second Amendment rights.
Hey, Dave, or Tim, what do you think, in terms of a prediction, the number, the percentage of Americans who are going to say no way about gun confiscation? I mean, it's easy to talk about and say, yeah, I'll take a bullet before I give up my gun. But when it really comes down to it, what do you think is the percentage of people that will say no way?
I think it's going to be pretty low, but I don't think it has to be that high. I think that what happens is that, you know, if you have 10% who say no way, that they can't do it because there's too many guns. This quote, by the way, was Solzhenitsyn, and he in this ended the book, The Gulag Archipelago. And I'm going to read you this real quick. I want to read you this whole quote. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when we went out at night to make an address, had been uncertain whether he would return alive, and had to say goodbye to his family. In other words, the guards they were sending out to go ahead and kill all the people couldn't be for sure certain if they were coming back alive. Or if during periods of mass arrest, as for the example in Leningrad, when they were arrested, a quarter of the entire city was arrested. People had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the downstairs door and every step of the staircase. But if the people had understood that they had nothing left to lose, and had bodily set up in the downstairs hall an ambush of half a dozen people with axes and hammers and pokers or whatever else they had. After all, you knew ahead of time that these blue caps were out at night for no good purpose, and you could be sure ahead of time that you'd be cracking the skull of a cutthroat. This is from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Gulag Archipelago, and what he was saying is if the people in Russia, the tens of millions that were killed by the Russian Revolution, had put up any type of resistance against the tyranny that was enveloping around them, they could have stopped it. But the problem that we have, Dave, the problem that we have, Katie, is that most people don't read history. They're not going to go out and read quotes out of the Gulag Archipelago because they don't want to hear about it. They're more interested in what the Cardassians are doing, or that Bruce Jenner is tired of being a girl now. He wants to go back to being a guy, according to one of the tabloids. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of this crazy stuff, that's what they're all wrapped up in. They've got these mindless pursuits that they're doing, in which they're basically allowing the mainstream narrative to go in and tell them what to believe. And of course, we always have the other things that we always have, that people need to learn how to stay unified and stay focused on what they're trying to do. Because that's one of the things Doug Hagman wrote a really good article last week about, how it's called the Tavistock thing, how people come in, how these groups come in, and they divide people against each other. And the sad part about that is, this is almost how all these revolutions take place. This is what Hitler did. This is what Stalin did. This is what Lenin did. And the sad part of all of this is that we need to read history and realize they're just playing the repeat button on all of this stuff with us right now in the United States, Dave.
Well, definitely we're going to see the repeat button, but I also think we're going to see the reset button. You mentioned the Chinese and the Russians. I've written about this for years. They have a significant troop presence in this country, both of them. It's well documented. It's linked back into government documents. Here's what I think, Ted, if I throw in my corollary to what you just said. If Obama feels that he can get away with going for a good number of the guns, he will use the foreign troops to enforce it, because he knows the foreign troops will have no compunction to shoot American citizens who are non-compliant. and this is why they're here, and we'll do it under the UN flag. The UN Small Arms Treaty was signed for one reason and one reason only. It allows Obama to seize guns under the banner of the UN flag, and he can use foreign troops to do it.
You know, Dave, if foreign troops start running through America seizing guns, there's going to be a mess, because I guarantee you, it's one thing if our government comes in and says we're going to take the guns, and that's bad enough. We're going to have enough people saying no to that. But if you start having Russians and Chinese coming to your door and demanding your weapons and not even speaking English, it's going to be hell to pay. I mean, there's a whole bunch of patriots out there. Look at the ranch up there in Idaho right now, in Oregon. Is it Oregon or Idaho right now?
Oregon.
We have hundreds of people out there now that are standing in defense of another land grab by the America by the Land Bureau people. And see, this is just what's going to happen. I mean, sooner or later, they're going to do all this. But remember, they're doing this AI right now. They're taking all this information, this metadata they're bringing in, and they're using this quantum computer and all these things they have to process all this information, and they're regenerating that same energy field back out into our environment to try to make people more and more agitated or more and more upset or more and more of everything. I covered that last month on the Hagman Show in detail about how they're tying the AI into the chemtrails, into the Morgellons, into all of this stuff. And the craziest part about all of this is that we have to do one thing. We've all got to learn to walk in love, because love covers over everything. And if we would stop hating the Syrians or stop hating the Russians or stop hating the Chinese and start realizing that we're all just people here and that Jesus Christ came to save every one of us, if we started realizing that and started seeing the things that we have in common rather than the things that we don't have in common. I remember years ago I went to Russia back in the 90s, and I was we were on a cruise ship there, and we went to St. Petersburg, and I'll never forget, when I got inside of Russia, the people, the soldiers at the port, they were goofy, man. They were acting like they wanted to shoot everybody, right? But when I got in around the churches and all the people, they were so nice and so wonderful. I remember, Dave, they were so poor back then. This is back in the 90s, that I went to the front desk of the cruise ship, and I got $51 bills, you know, American money, because their dollar had pretty much collapsed, you know, after the fall of the Soviet Union. And I remember I would go to these churches, and there'd be all these beggars are sitting out there, and I'd give them $2 or $3, and they would just sit there and start praying all of these blessings, and I'm just passing out this money to these people, thinking I can bless a few of them. And my guide said to me, he goes, "You don't understand what you just did." He goes, "You don't understand what she just said. She's praying and crying because you just gave her $4 or $5. It's going to feed her entire family for the next month. And she doesn't even know how to respond to you for doing this." See, this is what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. We're supposed to be helping the people and loving one another and being kind to one another. And I'm about to lose it here. I don't want to lose it on your show. But I mean, I remember that like it was yesterday. And we've lost that. And now we've allowed the government to come in and to rule us and to control us. And the government gives the power to the CIA. The CIA gives the power over to the weirdos, because the CIA is a complete satanic organization anyhow, and then they give it over, they give that power to the black magicians, and they do all this crazy stuff and all this nonsense they do.
I'm going to have to give the power over to you, because we're out of time, and I want you very quickly to tell people how they can listen to your show one more time.
Dave, thank you for having me on. It's going to be I got on that rant about the thing in Russia, but
I'm going to have to pick this up on the other side real quick. I'm sorry, Ted, we got to go to break. My apologies. I will pick this up on the other side, and I'll give out your contact information. Healthmasters.com is his website. Ted Brewer, thanks for joining us. We'll be back with Doug Hagman.